You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, straight up noon on this Friday. Jesse Rogers with you. Obviously, the day has been just dominated by this conversation regarding Myles Garrett. What happened last night, the suspensions, the penalties are out, the punishment. So I'm sure Carmen and Yurko, who are at Potter's Place in Naperville, have an opinion on it. And actually, Carmen and Yurko, especially Yurko, I really want to hear your opinion on it. I've sort of taken a minority view. I guess in one sentence, I'd say it's not as bad as everyone's going nuts about. But that doesn't give it justice, because obviously I agree with some of the penalties. But I don't know. I think that we're acting like this is an occurrence that happens every week and the NFL has to make an example. No, you got to come down on them. But it's a one-time thing, and it's pretty not easy to adjudicate.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a common occurrence. It shouldn't be. It's not going to be. I don't think whether they give them one game or 10 games, I don't think players aren't often going to do this.
Yeah.
Most players know that you have to have some restraint in these situations.
Well, they're going to know for sure now.
Well,
now they know for sure.
Again, it's not something that happens a lot, so I don't. But I get the NFL wanting to come down hard, though, because it's a bad look for the league.
Yeah.
The league doesn't need that kind of a scrum at the end of a game.
Yeah, but did Haynesworth's punishment stop it from ever happening again? No, these things are going to happen in the heat of the moment. Otherwise, you would never have a suspension, right? I mean, guys are still going to do these things. I'm glad nobody got hurt, but I don't know. Pouncey getting three for a kick. I don't know.
Yurko, you can't think it's kick all a guy fair? In the head like that when he's down.
I want to hear Yurko. What's your opinion on the whole
thing? I'm fine with everything that I saw here. All Myles Garrett, I instantaneously last night, I called for a 10-game suspension.
Okay.
So the final six this year and four next year. I've got no problems with that whatsoever. You can't do what he did, period.
No.
You play a game where we're upset and we're disgruntled and we're angry all the time. You got to keep your emotions in check. His inability to keep his emotions in check has made him susceptible to exactly what he's going to get right now. So whether it's 8, whether it's 10, doesn't really matter to me. You've got to make an example out of him, and that's exactly what they're going to do. So too bad for him. I'm sure he'll appeal. I'm sure he'll appeal, and they might bring it down a little bit for whenever they decide exactly what the length is going to be. I think the kid that threw Rudolph down or pushed him in the back,
yes,
I think he's victimized now because of all this. That's a flag and a 15-yard penalty.
He got a one-game?
He gets a one-game suspension, and his check's going to be lighter for that week. He's really kind of a victim in this whole thing for being an idiot.
Right.
Well, okay? I think
Pouncey for kicking the helmet, I thought he was going to get a two-gamer. Or a one-gamer, so they actually tripled it to three. So I think it's a little heavy on Pouncey. But, you know, if it was a two-game or a one-game suspension, I wouldn't mind it. It's just, you know, that's it. The fine for the organization's $250,000. It's like finding them 10 cents. It really
it's like finding them $250,000.
Okay, we're worth $3 billion. You're going to fine us $250,000. Oh, my, what are we going to do? Oh, they'll be fine.
Yeah,
they'll go to charity.
I'm in agreement with everything you said, especially Pouncey. Maybe it was a little too much.
Yeah, but listen, if you're going to get Garrett, you got to get everybody else, because it all could have kind of dissipated. It all could have gone away, you know, but instead it heightened, and then it went crazy.
I just would not let it bleed into next year, the suspension. Six games is fine, postseason, fine.
I think it needs to be 8. It probably needs to be 8.
So a half a season? Okay.
Yeah, Jess, I mean, you swung his helmet right in the guy's head. I mean, like, you can't do that.
Yeah, it's football players.
That's attempted murder.
Oh, I don't know about that either. I mean, that's a little extreme.
You're right, and I'm going to tell you why, because he has to have the intent to kill for attempted murder. It's certainly battery, though.
Yeah, I guess.
100%
assault and battery. If it was in a parking lot.
No, even if it's on a football field. I mean, you take a helmet, you hit a man in the head with a hard helmet. You're saying
but in the
that's
middle
not
of a
battery?
I don't know.
How do you start getting it from a legal standpoint? I mean, is that something that his lawyer said that they could press charges against Myles Garrett?
I mean, it definitely escalated, didn't it?
I know, but
I would not. I mean, lawsuits,
how
criminal.
How would that be adjudicated, honestly? Like is that really considered assault and battery?
The NFL will step in and never allow that to happen.
I would think.
I would hope so. I mean,
that's it. That's the one thing the NFL does well. They get in the middle of these scraps and they settle it down.
It was dumb on Myles Garrett's part. There's no other way to put it. Like, you have to have more control than that.
You have to have restraint.
Well, you think he's the only football player that's ever been in – it happens every day.
Right.
It happens in practice. It happens.
Right.
You cannot – and didn't Kyle Long – I mean, think about how remorseful he felt, and the organization had to come out and scold him for swinging a helmet at a teammate. I mean, you cannot do that.
I think Yurko, you tell me, once you have it in your hand, you probably want to do something with it, right?
Well,
I mean,
the smart
drop it and throw your fist.
Right, yeah, right.
But then wouldn't that still be assault and battery?
Yeah,
But fighting is fighting.
Well, then, what do you mean? That's assault and battery. That's why you can't have it. I don't think they
hitting
should.
Somebody
the lawyers,
with a helmet, a weapon. That's a weapon at that point, Carmen.
Your fist could be a weapon.
Well, only if I'm Bruce Lee.
And I just saw the kick again. My God, it was one kick. Give him three games for that.
Like I said, I thought the pouncy thing was a little heavy.
You thought so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, kicking the guy in the head.
Well, kicking a guy in the head without a helmet.
Yeah, Carmen.
That means something. The guy had his helmet on.
The fact that he had his helmet on, Carmen, for God's sakes. You're making it sound like he's in the parking lot getting stomped on.
He didn't stomp him in the face.
Yeah, I know. But again, it comes down to the optics of it. That's not a look the NFL wants to see. They don't want to see
players
clear as day. Yeah, a guy kicking another guy in the head. We were just talking about, you brought up the Titan, Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah.
He stepped on a guy's face. Look what they did to him. I mean, you can't. They don't want people seeing their players kicking each other in the head, whether he's got a helmet on or not. They're going to come down hard on these guys.
I think the pouncy thing was heavy. I don't mind the Myles Garrett thing, and I hope it does carry it the next year.
Hey, made for an entertaining final 5 seconds. That's for
sure. Wait a minute. Who's the guy that got ejected out of the game for the two personal foul penalties? The safety.
I don't know.
Greenbrier. What's his name? It was something like that. Either way, where's his suspension? That's the suspension I'm looking for. Two personal foul penalties.
Is that an automatic suspension?
I would hope it would be.
That might be in the rule.
That's the guy that can't control himself. He needs to be suspended, too.
Might be in the rule.
Not a part of the
incident.
I mean, looking for his name.
I was arguing with Shay. She's like, they're the most penalized team in the league. And then we looked it up.
DeMarcus Randall.
They have the most false starts. So to draw a line like this is some wild and crazy team, this was an isolated incident. Who cares if they lead the league in other normal penalties?
I guess you could make some sort of comparison to the fact that they're just undisciplined.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't think these are nearly the same things. A procedure penalty and swinging a helmet at a guy,
right.
They're very different.
That's why I was kind of like, okay, we know what happened. Move on. I mean, it's a little different. Like you're using the Astros cheating thing. That's a systematic. They've got to do this investigation. Here, there's no investigation. He pulled the helmet off and he hit him. Suspend him and let's move on. There doesn't have to be some big picture statement about the NFL made. That's my opinion.
You can have your opinion. The suspension is going to be what it is, and I agree with it, period.
Yeah.
And he deserves it. Whatever he gets,
probably
he deserves.
Games, right? They'll probably end up giving him 8 games.
Whatever it is he deserves. He's going to appeal it. It might come down.
Maybe. Well,
either way, he deserves to miss every single game.
Why didn't they just decide on the number? Why not just say 8? You know?
Probably want to sort this out. I think they want to do their diligence.
They
wanted to make a statement today and say, look, you're suspended indefinitely, and it's at least the rest of this year. So we know at the very least it's 6.
Yeah.
My feeling is they're going to come back and say you're going to have to sit the next two, next year too. Two more next
All
year.
Right.
Maybe it's 10, and like Yurko said, they reduce it down. That's usually what happens. They want him to sit out 8 games. They'll say you got a 10-game suspension. He'll appeal it. They'll knock it down to 8. And he'll end up missing half a season.
Costs a lot of money for that poor kid.
Yeah, well, he's awfully good, too. It's not, but, hey, you can't do it. You just can't.
You can't do it. That's the kind of chicanery the NFL
And it would have been a good
want.
Night for the Browns. You know, we had the stats and some of the stuff yesterday when we talked about the game.
Yeah.
They're hardly ever a favorite in the division. They finally were. They never win as a favorite in covering the division. They did. You know, granted, the Steelers are beat half to hell. They're losing guys left and right. They lose two key offensive players, but they win a game. They should feel good about it, and then
every
this spoils
every
it.
Every play, there was a Steeler down on the ground.
That's what
it felt like.
They're beat half to hell. It's a war of attrition in the NFL.
Rudolph gotten any punishment?
No.
I don't know. I thought he was.
A lot of people calling in thought he should.
Yeah, well, they can think what they want to think.
He definitely was provoking him.
I thought he was an innocent bystander.
He tried to pull his helmet off first, didn't he?
Listen, he's a quarterback, so there's not much strength there to begin with.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett had a hold of him. He was trying to wrest himself loose, and in part of his inability and grotesque lack of athleticism and wrestling ability whatsoever, attacked Myles Garrett in the worst way one possibly can. And so his awkward defense
of himself.
It'd be
like me attacking Yurko.
Right, his awkward defense of himself. And then the lineman came in. They should have separated him. They should have got him by the arms and got him off of him, period.
They did
a poor job of getting Myles Garrett off their quarterback.
Yeah,
maybe
they did.
Maybe like an instigating penalty or something or like a fine. I don't know. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when you got swinging helmets and kicking guys in the head,
yeah,
does
he
deserve to be
nothing.
Suspended? Probably yes. not. But I did think about it, Jesse, when I saw it live last night, too. We knew right away, okay, major suspensions are coming for at least two guys. And I did think, I'm like, I wonder if they're going to hit Rudolph with something, too, for just kind of not – for maybe not instigating. That might not be the right word, but – he definitely had some part in it. So I thought about it, but I doubt anything will come of it.
This is the kind of morning it's been for me. I got a tweet right here. Got to be honest with you. Your Myles Garrett take is garbage. Okay.
Yeah, well, you're having a rough one, kid, but don't worry about it.
I'm not having a rough one, Yurko. I'm not having a rough one.
Rough one? I mean, really, it's just an opinion. Big deal.
The question that was just asked of me here at the beautiful Potter's Place in Naperville.
Yeah, that's where we are
on Jefferson Street. We're having a good time right now.
Yurko finishes tamales.
Tamales were exceptional. Carmen's tacos are gone.
I love those tamales.
The question, if Big Ben was there, would he have done that to Big Ben?
Ooh.
And the answer to that was, first of all, they would have been up by 25.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. So they would have been running the ball in that situation. So I don't know if that would have been happened. But Big Ben can defend himself, and Big Ben doesn't go down easy.
Big Ben's awfully big.
Yeah. Plus, there's more respect for Big Ben than there would be for the Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, Myles Garrett's like, Mason Rudolph.
It's easy to beat up on a Mason Rudolph. I mean, the kid's name's Mason. Jeez.
What's wrong with that?
Somebody's
got a son named Mason.
Already a strike against this poor kid, Mason Rudolph.
That's not a bad name. It's a quarterback.
By the way,
name.
That's I call Sylvie's oldest boy Buck.
Yeah. Well.
And then the little one, Bronco. Buck and Bronco, Silverman.
All right. So what do you got for Bears and Rams, Yurko? What are you thinking?
Bears and Rams? What am I thinking?
Yeah,
He's thinking he's
got to
work on his keys.
No, my number one key is protect the quarterback. That's what they're going to have to do if they want to have a chance to be successful. Yeah. I want to see the quarterback run the ball a little bit more. He's got to be a part of the running game, and it's got to be out of that eyes. The eye, you sit there and you run power, you know, ISO on the linebacker, and then you bootleg him out.
Bootleg. Thank you.
Give me some naked bootlegs, man.
It's the one thing Mitch is really good at.
It's my favorite type of bootlegs,
run,
the naked
run, little
one.
Play action,
right, so
boot,
how do
cut
you do
the
it,
field in half.
How do you do it without Montgomery or if he's, you know.
You do it with Tariq Cohen and Cohen and
Cordell Earl Patterson.
Yeah,
Patterson,
Corduroy. Yeah. You do it with Corduroy and Tariq.
Yeah.
Get them back there. Hey,
it's not position A, but.
No, but Patterson's run the ball before. It's not like he hasn't.
Well, you're not running
power
Cohen out of power eye. I mean, are you?
Well, you can run him on tosses.
Oh, tosses, sure. They never run tosses.
How about change of direction plays? I can run him on change of direction. Something that looks like it's going in the middle and it's going to break to the outside.
Can we count the number of toss plays on one hand that the Bears
have
run? It kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
Oh, and the only guy that runs him is Corduroy.
You got to get him in space, Carmen. You got to get him in space.
Get him in space.
Isn't that what they say?
I don't like the idea of Cohen in power either. The week after you cut Mike Davis. But they were smart to cut Mike Davis.
My favorite play of the year is when he went to the goal line with him on that play.
I mean, really? Come on.
It was like trying to do Peyton over the top, and he got stuffed.
If the Bears win this, their 5-5 is better than the Rams 5-5 because of some of the tie-break situations they have.
The loser of this game is out of the playoffs.
Is done.
Yes.
That's how big this is.
This is an elimination game.
If the Bears are 4-6 after this one, they are done.
Yeah. And not, I get it, not mathematically, but for all intents and purposes, this is a knock you out of the playoffs.
They have
game.
To have this game.
Both teams. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, 100%. The Bears still got a chance to be 5-1 in the division.
Correct.
They've got three games left. They're 2-1 right now.
That's right.
They've got a legitimate chance on Thanksgiving to go ahead and beat up in that Detroit team because Stafford's not there.
The problem is, Yurk, that's true. They still have three road division games.
Oh, I got it.
That's a
I'm
tall
not against
order.
You. They showed you they could do it last year.
Yeah,
it is a tall order. They're not holding court at home. They're 2-3 at home.
Last year. You always tell me each and every season becomes its own animal. Last year was last year. This year
dynamic.
Doesn't look like last year. Right,
different dynamic this year.
So I don't know. Three road wins at Minnesota, at Green Bay.
Carm, I didn't predict they'd go 5-1. I said they've got a chance to be 5-1. So that's
order.
Still in the cards. Yeah. If you do go 5-1, that's your first tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So the point is, Minnesota's the final game of the year in Minnesota. If they get that to go 5-1, I'm telling you, these Bears are going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. But it doesn't start if you don't have a victory in Los Angeles. It doesn't even matter.
Right. I'm going to let you guys continue this conversation.
What's the Yu Darvish stuff? I mean, and here's what I don't understand.
Okay. Yeah.
What? Game 7 was in Los Angeles in 2017.
Right.
I don't get it. Like, what's happening here? People are always off the hook, and They're stealing signs. Were they stealing signs on the road, too? And what's this YouTube video?
Yeah, he went on YouTube and tried to explain everything. And he said that experience, by the way, has made him better, which could be benefit to the Cubs. But he actually took the high road. He says he doesn't think they were stealing signs. And, again, questions if they could have done it on the road.
Well,
but
how could they? Yeah.
Anything's possible. You bring your own camera. Who knows with technology these days? I doubt it as well because you see all the rumors about home teams, Milwaukee, sure. Boston, New York. It's all at home. But the Astros seem to be so, in violation of this. Maybe they have a sophisticated system to do it on the road. But look, Darvish pretty much eliminated that kind of conversation.
Somebody called Jesse and Shea earlier and said, "Is it really that bad using technology?" And the guy said, "Yurko has said on the air how they used to watch the film to pick up on the offensive line calls."
Yeah, from the quarterback.
But from
that is not the same thing as putting a camera in the outfield in the middle.
Exactly.
I mean, that is not even close to being the same thing.
Yeah, the difference is that I'm not getting signals from somebody telling me what's happening on the field.
Yeah.
I study, I look, I process the information. Then I've got to be able to apply it on the field. And that's where most of the times it gets lost with a ton of football players.
Yeah.
Is the ability to take all the information you have, transfer it to the football field, and then apply it.
That's not the same
thing. Put it in
an application. And as Jesse made the point, it's illegal in Major League Baseball.
Yes,
there is a rule. You cannot use equipment or recording equipment,
period,
during the game. They can't even have they can't have Apple Watches, right?
No. Nope.
In the dugout.
No Apple Watches.
They got Boston, I think, got busted for that.
Yeah, it's like being at the poker. It's like being at the blackjack table in Vegas. The minute you take your phone out, you're gone. That's it. Get away from the table.
Setting a precedent. If the Astros are found guilty, they are going to get huge punishments
to set
that precedent.
And they should. Yurko said they should take $50 million from them.
$50 million from the television. The national television share or that BAM.
BAMTech.
BAMTech.
Their BAMTech share.
They should take the BAMTech stuff from them.
That would be a lot of money.
All right, guys, have a
great show at Potter's Place in Naperville. Thanks to Tracy Butler, Philly Godfather.
Go ahead,
Jeff.
Get the hell out of here, Jesse.
I'm going on MLB Network at 12:35.
Is your Uber ready? Oh, he's going on MLB Network. Big time. Wah, wah, wee, wah. All right, have a good weekend.
You too, guys. I love you. Take care. Thank you to Bleck, Abdallah, and Zetterman. And appreciate you putting up with me for one day. Cap will be back next week. This is ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Whoa. Hello. Whoa.
Mason Rudolph got
Rudolph
into
needs
it.
To get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Miles Garrett? They'll be swinging a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Fox last night. The game was over at that point, but it got ugly as we were discussing during Crosstalk. Happy Football Friday, everybody. A truly awesome Football Friday. We're out and about. Potter's Place, downtown Naperville on Jefferson Street.
Great
legendary place.
It is. It's fantastic when the outside is open.
Oh, it's amazing.
In the summer. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
They got music, and it's awesome.
I'm playing host here, too.
Yeah, we're sitting here. And two ladies come walking in, and I don't know if Yurko thought they were here to see us or what.
I thought they could have been from White Claw, you know?
Or Truly. He's got a huge smile.
From Truly?
He's got a huge smile on his face, and he says, "Hi, ladies, how you doing?" John Yurkovich. And the woman says, "Hi, I'm Adele." And Yurko said,
"Adele,
nice.
Yeah, wonderful."
And she goes, "Can we get a table for two?" She didn't know who we were. She thought Yurko was the host.
So I was going to go smoking or non-smoking.
No,
it's good times.
Come
here
see us. We're
with
Truly Heart Seltzer, Alpamonte Buick.
Truly.
GMC. Yeah, Truly. And the great folks at Bet Indiana.
Yep.
Kevin Fishbane in just a few minutes talking Bears, NFL, getting ready for the trip out to L.A. Also, will the Bears be in attendance at Kaepernick's workout if it goes through? I guess there's like 11 or 13 teams now that have said they're going to go. The Bears now aren't one of them yet. I would imagine every team sent somebody. I don't know why the Bears wouldn't send somebody. It makes no sense.
Right. You're going to get the video. You're going to get this, but you want to see it live. You want to see something that's not going to be on the video. Maybe you see his demeanor. Maybe you pick up on something.
Yeah,
you don't know, but if you're there and you see it with your own eyes, it's more important than watching it on video. Trust me.
I can't understand what the rationale would be.
It'd be silly not to be there.
Yeah, it'd be silly. We'll talk to Fishbane about it in a few minutes from The Athletic. We got Chad Millman at 1, Action Network. Talk about the Lions for the weekend, college and pro. And then Mike North has his bonus play at 1:45. We'll take your phone calls. If you want to talk about the incident last night in Thursday Night Football, what do you think the suspension ultimately should be? Right now it's just indefinite and at least the rest of this year for Myles Garrett. But what do you think about the way that transpired last night and how the league might dole out the rest of these suspensions? I guess the only really questionable one now is still what they're going to do with Garrett. I think they've settled on Pouncey with the 3 games. Ogunjobi. He got 1 game.
Ogunjobi.
You know, so I think, you know, that stuff has settled itself out. It's really going to be about Myles Garrett. They might take the weekend. Right. They might take 2 weeks to figure it out. But he will not play again this year. If the Browns, by some miracle, make the playoffs, he will not play in the playoffs either.
And there's no defending it. The way Aikman responded to it and the way Joe Buck responded, oh, take a look. You see violence on the football field a lot. So when you see that, you know that's out of line. It's out of line. It's got to be handled. They handled it. And the Myles Garrett thing, I hope it's 10 games. It's minimized. It'll be 8. I don't care if they minimize it.
That's what I
think.
I think half a season is.
You made your statement. Yes. He's going to miss these 6 games. That's fine.
Look, and that's a major statement. I mean, that's.
Oh, it's a lot of money this poor kid's going to lose.
It's a lot of money.
For a dumb decision he made on the football field.
Yeah,
it was heated. It's no excuse, though.
It cost his team. He's a great player. Half a season is significant.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I do think that 8 games is probably where they're going to end up, and I think that's fair, and that's a huge suspension. Here are the teams that have officially announced they're going to the Kaepernick workout if it happens. I hope this is the latest list. I just pulled this first thing up I saw on the internet.
I think it is, Carm.
So we've got the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Browns, the Broncos, the Lions, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Giants, the Jets, the Bucks, the Redskins.
Doesn't shock you that the Patriots are going to do it.
Right.
Patriots are going to do their due diligence all the time.
If the Patriots are going, I mean, don't the Bears have to go? Let's bring in our buddy Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. He covers the Bears in the NFL at theathleticchicago.com. He is at Kate Fishbane on Twitter. And before we get into Bears-Rams, where does this stand? I don't get the secrecy either. If someone explain to me why they have to be so secretive that nobody outside the organization can know if they're going to be one of 32 teams probably watching this workout. I don't get the nonsense, but why wouldn't they go, Kevin?
Yeah, Carm, it's an interesting case for the Bears because I was looking at that list, and, you know, if the Arizona Cardinals are going, nobody really bats an eye. You know, okay, you have your franchise quarterback, and you can bring in Colin Kaepernick to be a backup. And I think it's a similar case for a lot of those teams. I think the worry, and I don't know this for sure because they're obviously being, you know, totally tight-lipped about it. I wonder if the worry inside House Hall is what going to that workout, the subtext for a team like the Bears, who obviously has a serious issue with their starting quarterback, and it's a guy who they really openly worry about his confidence, what that looks like. And there's so much, everything is about Mitch and focused on Mitch, that I wonder if they just don't want anybody to know whether or not they're going because they don't want their quarterback to think that they're going to go work out his eventual replacement.
Kid gloves, my God. I mean, it's, you know.
The sensitivities. There's not a situation here where Virginia McCaskey steps in and says, George, this is not going to happen. We don't want him. We're not interested in him. Nobody's going. Does that happen?
Well, I will say this. I cannot foresee any scenario that the Bears sign Colin Kaepernick. In no way do I see that happening. Mitch Trubisky could be the worst quarterback in the NFL. He could be the best quarterback in the NFL. I just don't see this franchise doing that. And that's not to say I agree with that or that I don't think he should be signed. I just don't think this team would do that with what they've invested in Trubisky right now. He's just not the type of other quarterback you bring in. So I don't know how high up that would go. But going back to the original point about the workout, you just got to send somebody for due diligence.
Yeah.
But I don't see any reason or not any reason. I don't see any scenario which the Bears would be a team that brings him in.
Does part of the calculus in the offseason is they try to figure out what they're going to do about the quarterback position? Like, do they sit down and think, if we move on from Mitch, what if he really does figure it out in a couple of years? What if he goes somewhere else and he's good? He's really good. And we look even worse. Like, is that something that is rolling around in the back of Ryan Pace's brain as he tries to address this in the offseason?
You know, it might, Carm, because they're so open about the fact that, you know, every quarterback has his own journey and different guys have different timelines when it comes to developing. And we know so much about what Drew Brees his career arc means to the way Ryan Pace looks at quarterbacks. And so it's possible that's something to think about. But I wonder if that, if they have this hint of thinking that he could end up being the quarterback they thought he'd be one day, is more reason why they're going to keep him. And not let him, you know, go somewhere else where he could flourish elsewhere. It is possible. It's going to be such an interesting offseason. That's why I thought it was noteworthy how positive Matt Nagy was about Mitch this week, talking about that game where, there's no doubt he made some great throws, but they punted 9 times against the Lions.
Right.
So it's not like they figured anything out on offense to a huge extent. This game is huge. I mean, this is a massive game for the quarterback and for this team, because if they win, you can start talking about playing some somewhat meaningful games down the stretch potentially.
Yep.
And the quarterback has not played well on primetime in his career, and this is a golden opportunity for him.
Why do people criticize the Bears' defense this year?
Well, I think there's obviously an expectation with this defense that they were going to be what last year's was, and that, you know, that's probably unfair to them. And I wonder too if people are kind of looking for different. Everyone's looking for a scapegoat, Eric. You know, they're all looking for people to blame. That's what people like to do when a team is struggling as much as the Bears are. And I think Matt Nagy's done a really good job of making it very clear that he does not put any blame on the defense. You know, the flip side, Chuck Pagano's put a lot of blame on himself when talking about not putting some of these guys in the right positions. The one of the biggest disparities between this year's team and last year's team is the takeaways. But takeaways are fickle. It's hard to, you know, manufacture those, and they come in waves. The other thing, though, that they can control is how often they're on the field. I mean, this team is on the field way more than they were last year on defense, and a lot of that has to do with the fact their offense can't sustain drives. So you put all that together, and people are just looking for all these different things, and you're expecting Khalil Mack to get a strip sack every game, and you're expecting Eddie Jackson to get a pick six every game, and those things haven't been happening. They haven't happened at all for Eddie Jackson. So, you know, I understand the scrutiny, but I think it's just people are just looking for reasons to be upset about every aspect of this team.
Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic is our guest, talking Bears and Rams, Sunday night football here in week 11. It's Carmen and Yurko out and about on a football Friday at Potter's Place in downtown Naperville, so come by and see us. Probably more than any other teams, the Bears and the Lions put the blueprint out there late last year on how to slow down the Rams. Kevin, we know that Belichick used some of it in the Super Bowl and how ineffective they were. There's some thought that that's part of the reason that they've struggled so much offensively this year, that teams are finally kind of catching on. They're doing a lot of what the Bears and the Lions did, a lot of that quarters coverage, take the seam routes away. The Rams have also been decimated by injury, in fairness, on offense. But can the Bears' defense go out there and kind of replicate what they did at Soldier Field last year without Vic Fangio? Will it look kind of the same this year?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with Khalil Mack, because it's going to be hard to do any of that without Akeem Hicks and Dan Trevathan. What really sparked that impressive effort last year was they did not let Todd Gurley do anything in that game. I mean, they put everything on Jared Goff, and he could not handle it. And, you know, that run defense this year has been a lot better than people think. Statistically, they're almost on par with what they were doing last year. It's just they had that really bad game against the Raiders, and you look to see what Latavius Murray did to them with the Saints. But it starts there. I mean, if they're able to really put everything on Goff, and you look at a bad and injured Rams offensive line, you kind of wonder. Khalil Mack has been really good under the lights. He plays really well on primetime games. We saw it in Washington this year. We saw it against Green Bay in the opener. Can this be the game that he kind of gets back to what we're used to, takes advantage of a bad offensive line, takes advantage of some third and longs for a quarterback whose confidence might be low right now, is a little skittish? I think it's got to be him. He's got to have a Khalil Mack game, because you don't have Akeem Hicks up there. You don't have Dan Trevathan up there, which makes it harder to replicate what they did last year.
So, you know, we know the drill, not just here, but everywhere around the league for the most part. Like, the backup quarterback's got to come in, and maybe the play's good for a game or two, but then there's regression. They're backups. Nick Kwiatkowski has played arguably like the two best games of any inside linebacker all year on the Chicago Bears. Can that sustain when he has to be the guy now that does it for a longer period of time?
Yeah, I'm very curious what the plan's going to be with him, because when he came in the Vikings game, Chuck Pagano still took him off the field on passing downs. Kevin Pierre-Lewis was on the field for some of those plays. Last Sunday, they took him off on fourth down for Joel Igbuneye, who is never on the field on defense. And those guys are obviously faster and maybe more sound in coverage, because that is where teams that could potentially attack Nick Kwiatkoski, although he had that great interception kind of reading the quarterback last week against Detroit. So I am interested to see what Chuck Pagano's plan is going to be with him on obvious passing downs, because you have no concerns about Kwiatkoski on the early downs when it's a base defense, when it's against the run. That's where he's best. He has great instincts. He moves downhill. You can count on him wrapping up and not, giving up a broken tackle in those situations. But what is he going to do for you in the passing game? That is the biggest drop-off between him and Dan Trevathan in coverage. And I'm very interested to see how Chuck Pagano handles it, because if you go to those backups, those special teamers for those big-time plays, are they going to be able to stick with the running backs and tight ends in coverage? And that also means that Roquan Smith, if anybody needs to have a great game with Trevathan out, it's Roquan Smith. He should be out there every single snap. He should not be on the sideline at all, and he should kind of be the Roquan Smith that everybody hopes and expects he can be with Trevathan out. It's a big opportunity for him.
How do we grade Roquan's second season to this point? I mean, has he taken the steps forward that we thought?
I think it's the grade you give to the defense. Whatever grade you're willing to give to the defense, I think that's the grade you give him.
Yeah,
so
and
it's a B plus. That, I think they get B a B plus.
Okay.
Yeah, and to that point, Roquan has been up and down. I mean, he had really poor games against the Saints and then against the Raiders after coming off the missed game against the Vikings, yeah. And he had his best game of the year against the Chargers. And he looked great against the Packers in the opener. So, when you're looking at this team, 4% chance of making the playoffs, you're looking to 2020, and he is right up there, if not the number one guy, maybe number two behind Mitch, of let's see how this guy can finish his season to tell us, is he truly going to be that franchise-altering linebacker that we all kind of thought he would kind of take that step this year, and it hasn't been consistent. But what does he put together in the final 2 months to lead into 2020?
Is there any way Javon Wims could play tight end?
Ooh,
they beef him up a little bit. I mean, the tight ends they have now, for whatever reasons, and I've been critical to Trey Burton, and I don't think I'm going to be critical of him much longer. Shaheen's been a bust. All I'm saying is you've got nobody really there. If Broniker gives you a little bit something, that's great. But can they beef up Javon Wims a little bit and make him a tight end?
It could be something to look into for next year. And, I don't know if Wims is ever in tight end's room or doing anything, but Matt Nagy's been very open about the fact that U tight end position is like the hardest position to learn on this team. And I think it's a lot to put on a guy's plate in Javon Wims, who, at Georgia wasn't necessarily, that's a pro-style offense there, but it's not like he had the whole route tree down. There's so much that goes into that spot, from the routes that are running, from the run blocking you need to learn. I think there's something to be said, though, about using a guy like Wims or Cordero Patterson, taking advantage of their size and moving them around, the way they would move Burton in obvious passing plays where he was running routes, trying to get those guys more involved in that passing game, because you weren't getting that from Burton. You're not getting it from Shaheen. You can't really count on it consistently from Broniker. So maybe in those scenarios, they could use him kind of like a tight end. But as opposed from the run blocking and all the responsibilities that come with that spot, it's tough to see them being able to move a receiver there.
Kevin, thanks as always. Great info. Safe travels out to L.A.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you, buddy. Kevin Fishbane at KFishbane on Twitter. He covers the Bears in the NFL for The Athletic Chicago. We'll talk more about the game. Your thoughts, Bears going out to the Rams, thoughts on the ugly end to Thursday Night Football last night. What should the suspension be for Myles Garrett? Indefinite for now and at least the rest of this season. 312-332-3776 is the number.
And a double loser for the good kid yesterday. Moneyline Bulls, Moneyline.
No. You were taking the Bulls with the points. You hit that, remember?
All right.
You hit half of it.
Because you couldn't do it on yours.
Yes.
So you said take the subtraction.
Yes.
Didn't matter. Pittsburgh didn't cover anyway.
Those parlays are hot. They're tough.
Instead of being down $10, I'm down $100.
The Bulls covered. The Bulls blew a good opportunity to win a game against a really good opponent last night. They played well, but Like, are we still in the business of moral victories only
at this point
in the Bulls rebuild?
No, I don't know.
I mean, like, they did play pretty well.
They were down three with 90 seconds left, and the game got away a little bit.
Kobe White was really good again. Not very efficient last night because he really struggled from the field in the second half.
Set records.
Boy, the kid could score, man. I mean,
13. He had 6 3-pointers yesterday. He set a record for a rookie.
Two nights ago.
No.
He set a record last night.
It was 7-6.
7-6.
The most in two games.
Yeah. I mean, he really is kind of like the microwave. Just picture Vinny Johnson with all that hair. Like,
yep.
He comes in and he just, I like his attitude. I'll
Start
score.
That's
hey,
right.
you, I'll shoot. I'll score.
Ever since Roy Williams came to town, this guy wants to shoot. I love it.
I love the attitude. He's so young. I mean, he's not afraid at all.
That's right.
I dig that. But yeah, I mean, like, They still had an opportunity, and you just don't cut his hair.
No,
Samson,
yeah.
You lose your power. Don't do
yeah.
it. We're live, out and about, Football Friday, Potter's Place on Jefferson Street in downtown Naperville with Truly Hard Seltzer, Bed Indiana, and Alpamonte Buick GMC. Come by and see us. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
It's Friday, and it's time for a win from the Bears. They go to L.A. We'll talk to Mike Tirico, Dan Weider, and more holiday parody song fun.
We get started straight up at 2, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
We will talk to the boys in about about an hour and 12 minutes, right? We'll have a little crosstalk. Action.
We got
our buddy from the Action Network, Chad Millman, coming up at the top of the hour. Break down the lines for the weekend. Mike and I have odds couple tonight, but it's going to be on a little bit later, not at 6. We got ND basketball tonight when Waddle and Sylvie are done.
Okay.
So when the Notre Dame game is over, Mike and I will be on with odds couple, and then you'll get the encore replay tomorrow morning.
Who's Notre Dame taking on tonight? The Fighting Irish. Who do they have?
Is that a query for me? I don't know. Who are they, Billy? Who are they playing?
Navy.
No, not football tonight.
Yes,
basketball
the Navy.
The Navy.
You can sail the seven seas in the Navy.
Yes, they're hosting Navy. Tomorrow, a 7-point favorite.
But the basketball team
I don't know who the basketball team's playing. Who are they playing?
Oh, they've got a big one.
Marshall. They're playing Marshall. Well, big tilt against Marshall tonight.
We are Marshall, kid.
We are.
Marshall. Yeah, Matthew McConaughey going to be at the game.
Yeah, he is. He's making a special.
A big trip coming up.
So is Randy Moss.
Yeah. He's a Texas fan and a Marshall fan.
Well, I think he's mostly a Texas fan. You see him on the sideline for all those Longhorn games. We got a lot of college and pro stuff to talk about with Millman, though, and then Mike and I have odds couple tonight. So
can't wait
that.
To talk to the milkman.
Yeah, that's your nickname for Millman?
That's right.
He's awfully good, man. He's,
well, I find him to be exceptional.
We'll see how the season-long NFL play is going, too, because he and a buddy are betting every game, all 256.
They're betting the dogs. They're having a real good time.
Yeah, no kidding. Last week, you'll hear this when we do odds couple later tonight. I know I'll bring it up with Mike. And Mike will give us a bonus play in an hour. Last week, Yurko, the underdogs went 9-3-1 against the spread. 8 outright wins in the NFL. And that's not even to mention what happened in college. LSU, Minnesota, Illinois, a 2-touchdown underdog winning outright. Va Tech obliterating a one-loss Wake Forest team as an underdog.
Yeah.
I mean, the dogs were barking.
They're running. The dogs were running.
And a lot of times when I go into a weekend and I look at my, you know, all my plays, and I had a lot of, and I'm looking at it last week and I go,
too many favorites.
I said, I've got too many dogs. I don't like this. And I'm a more of a dog player. So is Little Petey, Adam Delavitt.
Little Petey.
Program director, Adam Delavitt. We're more like dog players. But I looked at it last week and I go, I got a bad feeling now. I got too many dogs. And they cleaned up. I went 6-1-1 last weekend.
I'm telling you, I'm hoping my Christmas gift is nice this year.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, because last year it was exceptional. But with the kind of money you're winning now, maybe a nice bottle of Michter's birthday bourbon? Come on,
first of all, Michter's doesn't make a birthday bourbon.
How about Old Forester?
They make a birthday
bourbon. Oh, yeah.
But Michter's did do a 20-year release again this year.
That's the one I'm talking about.
So if you've got, about $2,000 lying around, you might find one on the secondary market.
Carm?
Do you know how many bottles there are, like, in the Chicagoland area for resale?
12.
Probably not even that many.
Wow.
Maybe 6.
It's got to be a good bourbon.
It is good.
It's my birthday, Carm. Not birthday. It's the holidays. It's Christmas. Birthday, Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday, all right?
Sweet baby Jesus. I did have a little birthday bourbon last night.
Did you? Congratulations.
Yeah, I did. We had a little Old Forester tasting at the Village Club in Western Springs. We were watching the Thursday night game, and did a little. My buddy Brian Sackadap brought
his
brought his whole Whiskey Row collection. He
You're
just
kidding
donated
me.
It for the night. Yeah, he goes, here, everybody drink it.
Everybody have
He's
some
a
fun
mensch.
Tonight.
Yeah, and he brought some birthday bourbons.
Beautiful.
Yeah, not bad.
It's exceptional, man.
I wouldn't mind.
I'd love to live a day in your shoes.
Really?
Yeah, just one. Hey, I'm not talking about a year, Carm. Just give me one day.
Not that exciting. Karen would like it.
You stop. You made me blush now. Jeez, come on.
She always had a thing for the good kid.
Well, she's only human, kid. She's only human. What the hell are you talking about?
Do the Bears have it in them to do what they did against the Rams last year? I mean, Vic's gone. He created a great game plan. As Kevin Fishbane mentioned, they completely took Todd Gurley away. They wanted to force Goff to beat him. And they concentrated on taking those seam routes away, played a lot of quarters coverage. Teams subsequently did it. The Patriots did it in the Super Bowl. Remember, there's that clip where Sean McVay calls the guys in the booth after their first possession. They went three and out, and he says, what was that? Was that quarters? And he goes, yeah, that's all Bears. Like, he knew right away right. what Bill Belichick was going to be doing. So can they replicate that? Will it be all different right. with Pagano this time? Do they try to play
take
it the
look
same
at,
way?
We went into last year's game not knowing exactly what the Bears are going to be able to do against Los Angeles. That offense was much better last year.
Yeah,
it was clicking on all
yeah,
cylinders.
For
yeah,
sure.
You had not only Todd Gurley, but you had a backup running back that was getting things done also, C.J. Anderson. You had three receivers that were catching balls
fabulous.
Left and right. They came into a cold Soldier Field, a chilly Soldier Field, and the Bears made them quit. They had three interceptions, I believe, four interceptions last year.
I think it was three, right? I think it were four takeaways in the game. Does that sound
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have a feeling it was four interceptions. I saw the quarterback byline. So Mitch
right.
threw for three interceptions, and the other guy threw for four interceptions, Jared
right.
Goff.
You
he did. Right. But you move on. You didn't expect that type of dominant performance out of that defense
not
last
quite
year
like that.
Against a much better offense. Now, the defense isn't quite as dominant, but you're playing an offense that's not even close to what they were last year.
Right.
So can you have a similar effect? Yes. A not as good defense going up against a not as good offense. I think, yes, this team can go ahead and muster up an effort. You've got some backup offensive linemen you're going to go after. Look for Khalil Mack to get after it. Look for the other defensive linemen to be able to get after it a little bit, too. Maybe Leonard Floyd finds a way to find a quarterback here, makes a play. How about a strip? He scored a touchdown last year. Anything out of Leonard Floyd will be nice. Your corners were very comfortable last year playing against the Rams.
They were.
Let's hope they're comfortable again playing against the Rams. I expect good things out of this defense. It won't be as dominant against the dominant offense last year, but I think it could be as good or somewhat as effective this year. So, yeah, I think the defense is going to carry this team this weekend.
The total in this game, 40. I mean, you believe that 40 and a half maybe in some places. The
yeah, Bears, I believe
like,
it.
That's how much these offenses have struggled, and both defenses are really playing well.
And this is a circa 1995 over-under.
Yeah,
you know, they used to be in the 30s in the 90s.
Yeah,
yeah
that's,
that's when
yeah,
defense
in the 90s,
was being played.
Even 10, 12 years ago, you'd see
yeah.
plenty of 38s.
Yes.
30, yeah,
yes.
Not anymore.
34 and a half
yeah.
I saw when I was looking back at a game earlier this year. 34 and a half. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think you can't trust Eddie Pinheiro right now. I can't. Maybe you can. I can't
good.
Trust Eddie Pinheiro. So you're looking at a taffy pull. 13-10 final. Hopefully the Bears are the guys that are got 13.
And Goff did have four picks here. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he did. I knew
four
that.
INTs.
Yeah.
All right, 312-332-3776. If you want to ring us up, talk about the Bears, the NFL, last night's craziness in Cleveland. Chad Millman from the Action Network coming up. Best plays for the weekend. Mike North bonus play at 145. And Yurko's Keys during the 1 o'clock hour. We're live, out and about. Truly awesome Football Friday. Potter's Place, downtown Naperville on Jefferson Street on ESPN 1000.
Week 11 for the Bears. After a much-needed win, they play this Sunday in primetime. Taking on Todd Gurley and the Rams. We're talking about it with you on ESPN 1000. Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Happy Football Friday, everybody. A truly awesome Football Friday with Truly Hard Seltzer. We're out and about Potter's Place downtown Naperville on Jefferson Street. Great Mexican food. Having a good time. You get a little Truly up here on this table, Yurko. That's what
we've got it right now.
Oh, yeah? Is our guy Watercott going to hook us up with some Trulies?
Watercott's heading right up to the bar. He's going
to
belly up to the
me.
Bar. And only the way Watercott can.
Oh, here he's got a whole bucket of them. That a boy. We're also out here with Bet Indiana and Alpamonte Buick GMC. Love these Football Fridays. We'll be right back out and about next week. But come see us at Potter's Place today. Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie in about an hour. It is time to talk about the lines for the weekend, college and pro, with our man Chad Millman. He is so good. The Action Network, of course, at Chad Millman on Twitter. I love this venture he and a buddy have gotten into. He's told us about it this year. They're betting all 256 NFL games this season, and hopefully you've been on the dogs. I think I saw you tweet. You guys, it sounds like you guys have done well. I mean, the dogs are killing it, Chad, and they were last weekend was unbelievable. 9-3-1 against the number, 8 outright wins in the NFL. It's been that kind of season here through 10 weeks for the underdogs in the NFL.
Well, listen, one of us on this call was 10-3 in his quest to bet all 256 games Ooh. Last weekend. One of us on this call bet the under in last night's game. So one of us on this call is 87-62 on the year. And like, dude, I'm just not making it up. Like, anyone who wants to check it out can go to the Action Network app, download it, follow me, follow the project, 256 or bust. Like, I almost feel like I can't believe this is happening to me. And I'm not even afraid of the jinx. You know why? Sound principles. I believe in what I'm doing. I'm not afraid to talk about it because I'm doing the same thing every week, and I've been doing it for 10 weeks now. Like, I might just be amazing at this.
And you're going to have to do this every year now if you continue to hit it about 60%. I mean, that's just hard to pick every game.
I'm not going to have to do it every year because I'm going to make so much money. I'm retiring after
You're
going to
retire.
Year.
Yeah, that's not yeah. bad, actually. This whole thing is going to work out great. So do you like the yeah. Bears as a dog this weekend? This is normally a better spot. They did finally cover, actually, as a favorite last weekend. But the Bears getting 6.5 probably in most places. I don't know that it ever gets to a touchdown. Are they a good play as a dog this weekend?
Ugh, I hate this whole game. You know what's I'm going to back into an answer. What's also interesting to me is that the total on this game is 40.
We were just talking
and
about
that. I don't think that's a reflection of the defensive. I think that's a reflection of how beat up the Rams offensive line is. And I think it's a reflection of how bad the Bears offense is.
Yeah.
My lean in this game is to the Rams. Only because I think there's probably a little more talent on the Rams side of the ball than there is on the Bears side of the ball. But I don't have, like, a massively good feeling. As you know, when I don't have a good feeling, I take the coward's route, and I usually let my buddy, my best friend growing up in Highland Park, who I partner with on 256, I let him make the picks I'm afraid to make. So my guess is he'll end up choosing the Bears because, you know, we're suckers.
Because you're a fan. And, yeah, that's when you got to – when you got to bet them all, sometimes it comes down to that. You're just going to go with your heart. How about let's look at a few of the big games this weekend. Texans, Ravens should be interesting in Baltimore. You know, it's Lamar Jackson. It's Deshaun Watson. I mean, they're so exciting. They're MVP candidates. How do we start to handicap this one where Baltimore's laying about 4 points?
So this game opened at 4.5. And when I first saw this line, I thought to myself, the bookmakers are going to get got in this game. Like, this feels like a field goal game. It's two incredibly good teams. I think it's two incredibly evenly matched teams. I have been a huge fan of Deshaun Watson since the day he came into the NFL. As we have oft discussed, did the Bears really trade up to get Mitch Trubisky instead of staying where they were and taking Deshaun Watson? Or, by the way, Christian McCaffrey? Or, by the way, Patrick Mahomes? Or, by the way, Juju Smith-Schuster? But whatever. I digress. The point is, like, Deshaun Watson is amazing. And I feel like in a game like this, he has proven that he is accurate, that he can throw the ball accurately downfield, and that he can keep a game really, really close. So I'm on, like, I'm totally going to be on the Texans in this game.
Yeah. I kind of like that side of it as well. How about the other big one in the afternoon on Sunday, Patriots and Eagles, where the Eagles are coming off of a bye. And Doug Peterson's ledger at home as coach of the Eagles is perfect against the AFC, 7-0 straight up. And they're catching about a field goal, maybe 3.5. I'm enticed here to take the Eagles. Is that the right side?
So I think I agree with you, but I will tell you that all of the smartest people, much smarter than me at the Action Network, are taking the Patriots.
Okay.
And so that gives me pause. But the other reason I'm really rooting for the Eagles is, as you know, like, sports betting is legal in New Jersey, and there's a sports book there called PointsBet, and we're doing this promotion with them where Dan Revell, last week he did this, and if you bet on the Giants If you bet on the Jets, he was on the Giants, and the Jets covered, then Darren had to sing as the Naked Cowboy. And if people in Chicago don't know who the Naked Cowboy is, he's a guy who sings in his underwear in Times Square. Yep. Darren had to sing as the Naked Cowboy in Times Square. So he did this past weekend. No joke, 8 o'clock in the morning in Times Square, Darren Revelle was in the middle in his tighty whities singing New York, New York.
This weekend,
if the Eagles cover, Darren is going to Philly, and he's going to be in the parking lot of Pat's Steaks in Philly and have Cheese Whiz dumped on 90 pounds of Cheese Whiz dumped on his head.
What in the world? How are you guys coming up with this? I love
some craziness there.
That's rooting, if the Eagles cover?
If the Eagles cover the 3.5 points.
So they don't even have to win. They just have to cover.
Just got to cover.
Oh, my God. This is brilliant.
That's the craziest stuff I've heard.
Let's go Eagles.
Yeah, go Eagles.
Yeah. We should all be in on the Eagles.
Yes.
Listen, Miami is playing down south. It's going to be close to 80 degrees, and it's going to be about 70% humidity down there. You got a team from the north going down. Miami's getting 6.5 in some places, 7 in others. Is Miami a solid bet off of 2 victories? Playing at home, in the heat.
Listen, I have been on the Dolphins for the past 4 weeks. I was on them to win straight up. A couple weeks ago against the Jets, I think. And I'm on them again this week against the Bills. I think they're the right side. I think that's too many points. They're playing with a lot of passion. I don't think the Bills have proven enough offensively that they can go on the road and be this big of a favorite and cover. So I'm going to be in the Dolphins. But I will tell you again, I am going against the grain of some of my Action Network colleagues who are big fans of the Bills in this spot.
Chad Millman from the Action Network is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Niners hosting the Cardinals, laying a big number of 10. Kyler Murray 7-3 in his rookie season against the spread. The Niners are still beat up. Kittle out, I think, again, officially. Robbie Gould is still banged up. I think he's maybe listed as doubtful. What are we thinking here? I mean, how do they respond on a short week?
Staley bad. McClinchy bad.
Yeah, I mean, after a tough overtime loss, how do the Niners respond on a short week?
I like the Cardinals in this, but I like the Cardinals. This game opened at 13.5. So the axiom in sports betting is you got to get the best of the number.
Right.
And getting in on the Cardinals at 10 is not getting the best of the number anymore. It's moved 3.5 points. So my advice would be stay away because you've missed the best opportunity to really win something with the best possible number.
That is a good piece of advice. Speaking of maybe a letdown games, Minnesota had gone, I don't know, 20 years or something like that, where they hadn't beat a ranked opponent. I mean, it had been forever. They pulled off a monumental upset.
The Golden Gophers were talking
about. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Going to college, yep. They pull off a monumental upset. How do they go on the road now and sort of generate the kind of effort that they're going to need to muster up to beat an Iowa team that stinks on offense but is really good on defense?
It is such a tough place to play, too, and that defense is amazing, right? I don't have a strong opinion on this game, so I wish I did, just because like, it's a good like Midwestern Big Ten matchup that you settle in on the couch on a Saturday and like really dig into. But for the reasons you just stated, like, how does a Minnesota team that is really flying high right now, like, they're not going on the road to play Rutgers, right? They're going on the road and they're playing a really stingy defense. So for me, it's a stay away.
I know guys that have made a lot of money betting against the University of Massachusetts. Northwestern plays them, but they're giving up 40 points.
It's ridiculous.
It started at like 37 and now it's up to 40. Has that number caught up to Massachusetts to the point where you might want to play them?
So it's funny. UMass has sort of been the meme for the Action Network all football season, like how bad they are, how bad UMass is and how bad UConn is, has sort of been the competing topics this year and whether or not you're going to bet them. You will not find anybody who is going to spend hard earned or hard won money betting on the UMass football team. They are a dumpster fire of trash that should not even be in consideration when you are deciding who you want to bet on a Saturday afternoon. That is just putting yourself through torture. And by the way, Has Northwestern scored 40 points this year in total?
They haven't scored in their last five games. They don't have 40 points.
So are you really going to bet Northwestern is going to score 40 more points than UMass?
No.
That's how you want to spend your time and your money and your sweat on a Saturday? Come on.
There are two just completely crazy lines, games, and I'm with you. You'd be nuts to bet the game. To me, you'd be nuts to bet the Ohio State-Rutgers game. But
there's going
to
be a winning side,
Rutgers,
guys.
Rutgers is at home. They play in the Big Ten. They're at home getting 52 points. They should be thrown out of the conference. It's a joke. It's an embarrassment.
I would be more inclined to bet that game than I would UMass and Northwestern. Like, Ohio State is a known quantity, right?
Right. That's true.
They are an incredible defense, and their offense can score at will. If they get eight possessions in the game, they're going to score. They can score every single time if they want to.
Right.
And, they might get more because they'll probably have some huge explosive plays. And so there are scenarios for me where I can definitely see Ohio State covering that game.
Unreal. I'm going to ask you maybe one more here. This is a good one. The night game in Waco. Game day is going to go to Waco. What Matt Rhule has done at Baylor is sensational, if you ask me. The problems, the ruin that it was left in after the scandal and Art Briles and everything else. I mean, 9-0. He's been good in this spot as a coach in his career, period, as a dog like this. Speaking of teams that can score, we know Oklahoma can score, but you know, do you have a feeling about Baylor getting all those points in a primetime game as a dog at home on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think it's a really good spot for Baylor. I mean, they're double-digit underdogs. They're undefeated. This is a Minnesota-like opportunity for them. And what I love about what they've done at Baylor is they built that team on defense, right? Like, they went into a conference that had been spread wide and was all about offense, and they completely counter-programmed and built a really incredibly talented defense. And look, Oklahoma has shown some cracks. They've been beatable. So I think Baylor's the right side in this game.
Okay, you got a couple of really good plays you want to give out?
Well, look, I love the Texans. I love the Cardinals this week. I did this, and I feel bad about it, but I did it anyways. I did a underdog money line parlay. I took the Bucks and the Falcons. Feel like I just I'm doubling down on some NFC South action. So if the Falcons and the Bucks pull an upset, I'll be pretty happy on Sunday.
What is your philosophy on parlays? I would put you in the category of gambling aficionados and really smart guys. I hate parlays.
I hate them.
Okay, good.
Hate them. Totally hate them. I'll tell you why I did it. Because we've done so well in Project 256 that I said to my buddy the other day, let's just take some flyers. Let's take a little bit of our kitty every week and just have a little fun. Throw them against the wall. We'll take a half unit of what we're betting and see if we can win a little bit extra money on some underdogs that we think are in good spots.
Have fun.
That's what I get.
Yeah, if you're going to do it half unit, I get it. Okay, but he shares the philosophy. I hate parlays. It's just not a winning proposition.
Oh, yeah.
But he wants to have
parlays
fun.
Parlays and teasers. Yeah. Parlays and teasers are amateur play.
Yes, I can't stand them. All right, Chad, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Happy wagering, all right?
All right, boys. Talk to you.
See you, buddy. That's Chad Millman.
All righty.
He is a fantastic
gambling guest. 87 and what?
He's about 59% picking every game. That's incredible.
87 and 62.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good.
That's incredible, picking every game.
Pretty darn good.
By the way, Mike and I are giving our bet. Just to put that into context, Mike and I are giving our best plays every week. Okay,
every week.
We're at about 64%, which is very good. I'll toot our own horn.
That's exceptional.
That's good. Picking football. We're at about 64%. This guy and his buddy are picking every game. I mean, there are so many dog games that we look at that we'll say,
don't want to touch.
I'd never put my money on this. I would never touch it. They have to wager on every game, and they're at 58, 59%. That's incredible. So good for them. Look who's here. Our guy, Adam Delavitt, the program director.
Stout and powerful one.
The program director. We call him Lil Petey.
I hope Lil Petey's going to be out with us the day
before.
Wait,
get ready. You're doing your segment. What do you mean, no? Oh, no, we're teasing it? Okay, he wants to combine it with Yurko's keys.
Oh, that's going to be top-notch.
We used to do on this show Little Petey's picks.
Yes.
And somehow he became Little Petey because people thought we were calling him that when it's... He's the PD, the program director.
He became Little Petey.
But people thought his name was Petey.
Yeah.
So we started calling him Little Petey. So Little Petey's going to do his picks like the old days for us since he is producing live with us here at Potter's.
Yeah, it's great to have. It's great to have him.
Miles Garrett has been suspended indefinitely. It's going to be at least the rest of this season. We have a feeling it'll spill into next year. I'm guessing it'll be an 8-game suspension ultimately. Yurko tweeted last night when it happened, it should be 10.
10-game. That's what I wanted. It was egregious. It was terrible.
Yes, it was bad.
I just saw some footage of another guy swinging at Richie Incognito.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, almost making contact, but not really making contact with Richie Incognito. Nobody can unsettle an individual like Richie Incognito can do. So you saw another swinging incident in that respect. But, yeah, 10 right away. Miles Garrett made contact on the head. Mason Rudolph, something serious. Something bad could have really happened yesterday. Huh. You've got to be able to show restraint. You've got to be able to show control. In the middle of chaos, that is a football game, you have to be able to temper yourself. Yeah. You have to be able to settle yourself down.
Ogunjobi got a 1-game suspension. Pouncey got a 3-game suspension for kicking Miles Garrett in the head when he was down on the ground. And, you know, I think he wants to defend his quarterback, but he can't be kicking the guy in the head either.
Can't do that.
It's all kinds of nonsense in that game last night. It was wild.
I don't know if he made any contact whatsoever.
No, he did.
Did Pouncey make contact with the punches?
Oh, I don't know about that. He got him when he kicked him.
It looked like he was flailing those arms. And then, you know, the angle, I couldn't see whether he made contact or not. They probably showed another angle where you could see him make contact with the helmet. Yeah. But if there's the one place you can take contact, it's in the helmet.
It's with the helmet on.
Yeah. I mean, if you're hitting a helmet to helmet and you're supposed to be protected, you got a helmet on, you get kicked in the head, that's not really supposed to bother you. But, again, he shouldn't have done it. I think he got victimized. 3 games might be a little bit much. I'd give him 1 or 2. And then the victim really was this Larry Agajibabi.
Yeah, close. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the victim.
He was the guy. All he
got
did,
one game.
Poor guy pushed down the quarterback.
Yeah, right.
And
like,
all
hey.
Of a sudden, now it's going to cost the guy $35,000 because he decided to push the quarterback.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, Yurko's smoking hot keys to a Bears victory if they can pull it off in L.A. And Little Petey, Adam Delvitt, the program director, will give you his picks for the weekend. It's Carmen and Yurko live at Potter's Place. Truly awesome Football Friday on ESPN 1000.
This is Yurko's Keys to the Game.
Trubisky stepping up, fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Yurko gives us what to watch for in this week's Bears game.
And it's intercepted, and it's Eddie Jackson under pressure again. Can he get away? No, he can't. Of course it's Mac.
Yurko's Keys to the Game, only on ESPN 1000.
Vikings will be on the call this Sunday night. Week 11 is the Bears visiting the Rams in Los Angeles for Sunday night football. Before we get to Yurko's keys, some news out of Hallis. JD tweeted this. Bears running back David Montgomery with that injured ankle did return to practice Friday. He is questionable to face the Rams. I think he'll be good to go. Tight ends Adam Shaheen and Trey Burton and linebacker Danny Trevathan have all been ruled out. Not a shock with Burton or Trevathan. I can't really say it's a shock either with Shaheen. Why they'd announce it now is curious. He was a healthy scratch last week. He's not injured.
I think they're trying to kick him in the keister.
Maybe.
I think they're trying to kick him in the butt. They're trying to wake him up. They don't know what else to do. They're probably frustrated with him.
Oof.
I'm hoping they embarrass him a little bit. Maybe some pride comes out, and a better effort then shows up on the field.
Bad. I mean, remember, this was Matt Nagy Monday when he met the media, and someone followed up about Shaheen being a hockey term, but in all intents and purposes, a healthy scratch. I mean, he wasn't injured. They just didn't feel he was good enough to dress on game day. This was Matt Nagy talking about it on Monday.
Again, we want all of our players to be able to be completely detailed and just play hard and do everything they can to be the best player they can be.
Does Shaheen have a chance to be active this week, or is this an until further notice, this is the way you're going to go with it?
Right. Again, we're kind of working through all that.
Ouch. And obviously, they're not where they want to be because he's not going to play again as a healthy player. With their best tight end, you know, who's supposed to be their best tight end, hurt. Trey Burton can't play. And Adam Shaheen can't get on the field.
Should be the guy.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Should be the guy. No.
Your second-round pick from 3 years ago.
It's a major disappointment. Now, listen, coaches will do different things to motivate different players. When I was in training camp with the Jacksonville Jaguars my second year, one day I woke up. I just run first team all the time. One day I woke up and I looked at the depth chart and we had the meeting beforehand. I'm running third. So it was Coughlin's subtle way of telling me that I needed to start practicing just a little bit harder.
Wow.
You know, as a veteran guy, you're kind of getting your little you're a little bit of a lull, you know, hey, I'm going to be here, I'm going to make this team. So he sent a little warning shot across the bow, and then I said, okay. I said, you guys want me to practice hard? And I did, and I was a terror, and I was a piece of blank, and the offensive line couldn't stand me that particular day. And then, you know, the press comes. Pete Prisco was the guy that worked for the Jacksonville Times Union or Florida Times. I don't know what the hell it was, Jacksonville newspaper. He comes to me, hey, Jerk, what's going on? I said, you know, every once in a while the coaches want to get different players working with each other to see what kind of chemistry they can develop. And if you don't do it now in the preseason during practice, how are you going to be able to do it during a game?
Good answer.
So
kid.
I came up with the biggest BS answer, but I knew exactly what Coughlin was doing. It wasn't Geron. It wasn't John Peace, my defensive line coach. Dick Geron was our coordinator. It was a coach trying to motivate a player that they felt like was just taking things for granted and being a little bit lackadaisical. So they woke me up. I was a terror on the field. And then he was like, all right, I got it. Don't be a pain in the butt.
Wow.
Because, listen, if I gave it during practice, I'd give it more than anybody else could.
Yeah.
I'd go full. They know it was either I was half empty or I was balls to the wall. That's the way it was going to be. There's no gray area.
I like that.
Yeah.
Boy, it's just incredibly troubling, and it is signaling the end of Adam Shaheen's career here. It's going to be a beyond disappointing career, obviously. That goes without. That's a huge understatement.
It's
a second-round pick. I mean,
never fired. He never engaged.
Never. Trey Burton is hurt. He cannot play. And Adam Shaheen, they're already ruling out on Friday. It is.
This should be his chance and his opportunity to grasp this position and this job and say, it is mine.
Did Shaheen get hurt and we don't know about it right now? I've never seen a player get announced out on Friday that's not an injury.
Shaheen got hurt his first year. Remember, he had the foot injury. Or is it the second year he had the foot injury? First preseason game, he ended up with a foot injury.
Yeah, was that his? I can't even remember.
First
now.
Or second year.
I cannot
never recovered.
That you're...
Believe it, it's happening.
You're ruling out, unless he got hurt this week, and I don't know. But he wasn't hurt last week. I mean, he was healthy.
Right.
They chose not to play him.
He was a healthy scratch last
week. But I cannot believe you're announcing that potentially a healthy player is not playing. It is just, terrible. Wow.
When I was injured, I was put on IR, but I was only inactive one game, and I received a cortisone shot up in my shoulder near my collarbone, and there's a cartilage that was torn. It was local, so they went in and they zapped it and got it, but then they ruled me ineligible to play against the Tennessee Titans when I was with the Cleveland Browns. I was ticked.
Yeah.
I thought I could have played. I go, this is what we do. We do it to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
So
right.
I sat out the one game, they came back, they traded Jerry Ball. Jerry Ball's so fat he couldn't even tie his shoes.
I knew it was coming.
Okay.
I knew so the Jerry
fat,
Ball shot was coming.
So fat he couldn't tie his own shoes.
I know.
Equipment guy had to come and tie his shoes for him because he's so fat.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
I'm a guy serious. Playing in the NFL couldn't tie his own shoes.
I'm telling you. With Cleveland in 1999, Jerry Ball was so fat he couldn't tie his shoes.
Jerry Ball was once a pretty decent player.
Jerry Ball was an exceptional player with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, he was good.
When he went to the Minnesota Vikings the first time, he was an exceptional player. I'm not taking away from what he did as a football player. He's an exceptional nose tackle.
Right.
My point is you let yourself go sometimes.
I guess.
And Jerry Ball had let himself go.
And
that's with Detroit when he was in good shape.
That's when he was good.
Get a picture of him in a Cleveland uniform.
Adam Delavitch
showed us. He was so fat that the equipment guys had to come over one on each foot while he just sat there.
That's unbelievable.
Like Jabba the Hutt and had his
shoes
tied for him.
That's what it's like. It is like Jabba. I mean, you're right.
Did exactly.
He, Princess Leia chained to the chair. Wow, yeah. That's not a good look.
So I was taking a defensive line out the one night in Cleveland. So we're over in Adam Morton's or Ruth Chris, wherever we're at. We got the back room. This fat chunk of blank gets in there. Hey, two lobsters and two steaks, because I'm paying for
this
it.
This is like the scene in The Sopranos when they make Christopher pay the bill and they order lobsters for everybody.
Yeah, well, that's what it was like. And I'm looking at him, and I'm going, what? I go, what? I'm not a rookie, you jerk.
I mean, really?
I've been in this league forever. What are you doing? What are you being a moron for?
What a jerk.
Yeah, and then Roy Barker always had a girl on the – oh, boy, flying in from somewhere.
Really?
Flew her in from somewhere.
I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't reveal that. I don't know, man.
At the time he was single, it didn't make a difference.
Let's get to your ghost keys. I love it when he goes down memory lane.
Ah, the good times.
Let's get to Yurko's keys. Bears go to the Rams. Yurko, I ask you, what are the keys to victory? You're amazing.
I'm glad you asked, guys.
I can hear the faint sound of the music in the background.
Black's too hard. He's too busy laughing back there.
All right. Key number one. Listen, we got a block for the quarterback. God. You got two turnstiles at tackle right now, Bobby Massey and Leno Jr. Both of these guys are probably having the worst years of their career whatsoever. They need to muster up the effort in La La Land to come out and play just a little bit better. The defensive line for this group, the three of them, got about 20 sacks combined. It's a lot of sacks for one group.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
So they're going to have to step up to the mic, and they're going to have to play better. Those two human turnstiles are going to have to stop that, hit the brake, and make sure they protect their quarterback if you're going to have any chance. Key number two. I want to run the ball, Carmen. I want power running. I want inside traps. I want tosses. I want all types of stuff happening. And the bootleg. The bootleg. Yeah. I want the quarterback running the bootleg. You Please. Say to pass, I say to run. I don't care.
Okay, I like it for the
Either
pass.
Way,
yeah.
pass run option. That's the only RPO I want to see.
Yes.
Run pass option, bootleg. Both ways. That's what I want to see.
I like it, Yerk.
Key number three. Byron, they intercepted him last year four times. These guys were breaking on the ball. They were on point. I was at last year's Rams-Bears game.
Yeah, that's right.
At Soldier Field. And I saw the type of coverage that was being played, and it was exceptional. They're capable. I want to see it again this year. Interceptions, turnovers. Key number four. I don't expect anything out of this guy.
Let me guess.
Anything out of this defensive outside linebacker.
Leonard Floyd.
Yes. But if he's got any pride in his soul whatsoever, he will find a way to make an effort this week and produce a sack, caused fumble, pick it up, and return it for a touchdown. I'm putting the onus on Leonard Floyd, who might be the second biggest disappointment to Adam Sheehan.
Do you know what he does have going for him in this game, though? He seems to play well in primetime games.
Well, good. Good.
So maybe that's a primetime game.
Yes, it is. So we're calling upon Leonard Floyd to make a contribution this week.
I like it.
And those are the keys to a Bears victory in La La Land against the L.A. Rams of Anaheim.
Smoking hot stuff, Yurko.
Yeah.
These two quarterbacks have
I didn't know the Roy Barker thing was going to be a little unsettling for you guys.
Well, I mean, maybe a little. You know, I don't know.
Well, what are you going to do? He's a ladies' man.
He's I got a different word for it, but we won't say it on the air.
Yeah. He never had Courvoisier, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Trubisky and Goff, season to season. Field Yates brought this up with us when we were talking a couple days ago. I mean, the precipitous drops here. And we've never, like, neither one of us are high on these quarterbacks. I don't know that we could have envisioned this sort of regression. Maybe Goff has a little bit more of an excuse because his line speed half to hell. Brandon Cooks has been out a few weeks. They've had all kinds of injuries. I still can't believe they paid him, but okay, they saw something in Jared Goff. But look at the QBR numbers. Yurk and I like quarterback rating better than QBR, but just look at these QBR numbers from last year to this year. So Trubisky last year was a 71. He's dropped off this year to 35.9. That's a drop of 35%.
And remember the QBR is a victory slanted, reverse engineered stat. So
yeah,
just so you know,
pretty heavy emphasis on the wins.
On the wins. So that's why you've got that. They haven't won as many games this year. That's why you see that number a little bit skewed.
Goff has dropped by about 25%. He's gone from a 63.7 down to a 39.4. And I gave Yurko this stat earlier in the week too. The difference in these offenses, especially for the Rams. I mean, it is a huge drop-off that we're talking about here. The Rams are averaging they're averaging 8 points per game fewer than they did a year ago. They've also seen an 11% decrease in their average yards per play. That is huge. The Bears have similar issues, averaging about 8 points per game fewer. They've seen a nearly 20% decrease in their average yards per play from 2018 to 2019. So we've seen major regression, injury, whatever you want to say, from both of these offenses. And I agree with Chad Millman. That total, the second lowest total on the board this weekend in the NFL, 40 or maybe 40 and a half.
An inability.
That is it. That is on the offenses. I'm telling you, that is not as much on these two defenses. This is a quarterback league, and these two quarterbacks have struggled. And Vegas set that line based on these offenses.
Yeah, an inability to run and an unwillingness to run. So not only the inability, but there's an unwillingness sometimes to run. You take those two factors and you become a predominantly passing team with a quarterback that's not a leader or a superstar. You make yourself susceptible sometimes to losses.
And that's what's happened with both of these teams.
Loser of this game
is out.
Pretty much eliminates themselves from playoff contention.
Well, here's what happens if you lose. The Bears go to 2-2 they go to 3-4 in their conference. Yeah, and then now you start having to win too many, you know, a lot of games to get back where you need to be.
Minnesota's got seven wins. They're the sixth seed right now.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be hard.
And the Rams do the same thing.
Correct.
You know, their conference record is 3-3. If they lose, they go to 3-4, and it becomes that much tougher. And, you know, they're both, they'll be 5-5. If they lose, they're 5-5. If the Bears win, they're 5-5. But I'd rather be the Bears at 5-5 moving forward than be the Rams at 5-5.
Yep.
Doesn't work for the Rams.
The math doesn't work for the Rams as well.
The math is very poor for them.
Yeah. All right, let's bring in our guy, Little Petey. I think we even have an open for him, Beck.
The Petey's Picks.
Can you pay attention to my segment?
I am. I've got him. I'm tweeting out your picks right now.
No, you're not.
Wait, what is it, Petey or Petey?
I can see you from my office. What you're doing.
I know.
You've got a camera. Stop eating during segments, during when you're talking.
Is his name Petey? No? PD, like program director? Okay.
What do you know about that? Huh?
Don't care. Don't care.
Here are the PD's Picks.
I missed the Petey's Picks,
That's
man.
That's a great open, man.
The program director, Adam Delavitz.
That is a great open.
Little Petey.
Wow.
What's up, man?
Remember that?
You bailed on us the last couple of years.
What happened?
What do you mean? I wasn't invited.
That's not true.
Too busy.
That's false. Fake news.
No.
By the way, we
have a special guest next segment. Jerry Ball wants to call in. I want to have a word with you about how fat he really is.
Well, listen, I hope he's lost weight and he's a lot healthier.
He has. I just saw a picture of him.
Wonderful.
Man, really?
He's
down to 325, it says online.
Wow.
Right. Well, listen, I'm happy for him.
Seattle Sutton.
All of us. No, that's right. Hey, it works.
You're both looking svelte.
Down 3.5. Now, I'm getting there.
All right, can we get to the picture?
Journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Let's go, Petey. Come on. What do we got this weekend?
Three picks. Two in college, one in the NFL. Taking a
write
lot
them
of
down,
points
folks.
In college. UMass is playing Northwestern. They're getting 41.5. points.
We're taking
UMass with the points. Northwestern might win by 37 or 38. UMass is going to cover 41.5.
This guy's betting.
If you have 41, buy the extra half point. You never know when that half point's going to come back and kick you.
Now he's telling
you
to buy points.
We're also going to take Rutgers plus the 52.
Oh.
It went up to 52. Went up a half point in the last 2 hours.
All the way to 52, yeah.
52. Not saying Ohio State's not going to win by 45, maybe 51, but we're going to believe.
They'll win by 45.
We're going to take the 52 points. So we're going to take a combined 94 points in college. And then on Sunday, we're going to take the Vikings minus 10.
I think the line is
too low. I think that should be a 2-touchdown spread.
Right. I'm with Little Petey there. I like the Vikings. Good numbers for Zimmer in this spot.
I've got a side wager for Little Petey.
Okay.
My side wager is, I predict the Rutgers doesn't score a point. They're at zero.
You
we on?
Yeah.
All right.
So a field goal, a safety, they luck their way into anything, you lose.
Right.
They score a
No,
fluke.
You lose.
You're I safe. Lose.
You
I
lose.
Lose. Yes.
Listen, one fluke touchdown, I'm getting 59 points off the bat.
Anything. My point is to get shut out.
If I had to pick a side on
who's
going to win this wager, I'm going to go with Yurko. I'm going to say they're going to get shut out.
I think they're going to get shut out. The wager is soup. On Thursday.
Soup.
Yeah, you know what kind of soup we want.
Yurko goes to breakfast at this place in his neighborhood called
Jelly.
It's called Jelly.
Jelly.
And I think I was there once before. I might have been there with you.
Yeah, I think you were there
good
with
food.
Me.
Good food. I love breakfast is my favorite meal, right?
Yes.
I love it. And good food, good breakfast. Yurko orders soup.
I like soup.
Who orders soup at
it's
8
a European
o'clock in the
thing.
Yeah, especially
no,
when it's chilly.
My ancestors are from Europe. They didn't eat soup for breakfast.
Well, listen, pasta fagioli is very filling.
Yeah, but you don't eat that for breakfast.
This is a beef rosamarina, man. It was delicious.
Wait, with your coffee? Like?
Oh, I did two hots and a cot. Can't do else. What else do you need?
He was coating the stomach for the tamales.
I mean, really?
That's right.
Like, I'll take beef barley and a cup of coffee. It's like, what are you, 100?
Beef barley. That's beef barley is fantastic.
I love it, but not at 8 in the morning.
I always get my second bowl for free, too.
Why? They give you buy one, get one free?
No. You want more? I go, sure, absolutely.
Well, you know, Carm, he has a weight with words.
Unlimited soup at this place.
I'm a connoisseur,
huh?
Yeah,
they're going to be going in there asking for the Yurko special.
And I get
unlimited soup.
Well, careful.
Listen, the OJ's $4.99, right? You get the second glass of OJ.
$4.99?
You already get your bill. They don't add it on.
What are they bringing, though? It's a tree from Orlando?
Fresh. No, it's fresh.
$4.99.
The machine takes the orange. It halves the orange. It presses the orange, and you see it come right out in front of your eyes.
Get the whole tree for $4.99.
It is so sweet. It is so delectable.
You know what Danny would tell you? A lot of sugar in that orange.
There is a lot of sugar. That's why it's so sweet and so delicious.
Yeah.
It's delicious, Carm. You should try some.
We'll do our best play, the bonus play, with Mike North coming up.
The bonus play.
Let's see which of his former teammates, Yurko, might offend.
Brought to you by Milk Bones. The bonus play.
Who might he offend next? I knew it the minute he said Jerry Ball's name. I knew the line was coming that the coaches had to tie his
shoes. Not the coaches, the equipment guys.
The equipment guys.
I couldn't believe it with my own eyes. Looking at it going, you've got to be kidding
me. In 20 years with him, I've heard the lines so many times. I knew it was coming.
I'm like, so have some pride.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Like, who draws the ire of Yurko? His former teammates. Listen, Jerry Ball.
When this guy goes, when Jerry Ball had to go number two, he had to shower every time.
All right, Yurko. People are eating lunch. George Kuntz, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, George Kuntz, for what he said to me.
What he
said
to
me in the locker room in the NFC championship game.
Smart-ass line to
you. He goes, man, I wish I had Leon Lett in front of me. Because he's reading the paper.
And what'd you say?
And I'm sitting right there. I said, you don't think I don't want Junior Seau behind me? I said, what are you talking about? We're going to war here, and you're sitting there, you want other guys to fight with.
Jerry Ball, George Kuntz, and then I'm trying to remember the other guy, the coordinator he didn't like. The only coordinator that ever didn't put him in a position to win, and it's
no. Ray Rhodes apologized one time, but I love Ray Rhodes.
Maybe it was a position coach.
Fritz Shermer?
No.
Oh, Larry Brooks.
Larry Brooks. Yeah. Oh boy, don't get
worst
it going.
Defensive line coach in the history of America. Terrible.
Larry Brooks.
Terrible.
I know it. Mike North's got his bonus.
You got to communicate with a coach on a sideline. You got to be able to both speak the same
just
language.
Let him go,
both speak the same language.
He's the man.
All right, this guy's telling me what happened on the field didn't happen, and then I'm waiting for him to apologize to me when we're watching film.
No, apologize.
Because what I said happened. Nothing out of him.
He didn't want to admit he was wrong.
He had bad ankles, man. I swear to God, I used to come and I just like throw marbles, I throw towels in his way, hoping he'd trip.
Bad ankles. Okay. Mike North coming up next. Crosstalk top of the hour on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko.
Run into there by the forechecking Yurko.
On ESPN Chicago.
All right, let's get to our guy. It's that time every Friday. Pappy joins us. Mike North has got the bonus play, the Carmen and Yurko special. Mike and I will be on tonight. Odds couple now. We're going to be a little bit late tonight because Notre Dame basketball's got a game at 6 against Marshall right after Waddle and Sylvie. So when that game's over, we hit the air, and then you get the encore replay tomorrow from 8 until 9. That's every Saturday. And Mike's got the bonus play right now. Mikey, what's up?
I'm doing good. What's up, Carm? What's up, Yurks?
How are you, Mikey?
I'm doing good, and I'll tell you what. After a two-game winning streak, we lose a game last week. But I think I got a strong one this week, guys, and I'm going to also reiterate it tonight. But I think it's one of those deals I've talked to Carmen before where you can also take the point spread if you want. It doesn't make sense to me. I know that the San Francisco 49ers, the line came out at 13.5 at the beginning of the week. Now it's all the way down to 10. Arizona seems to be the latest flavor of the day. We're hearing Kyler Murray's watching films of Russell Wilson. And all I know, Yurk, and I think this goes for any kind of sport, whether it's the NFL, 16-inch softball, what have you. But correct me if I'm wrong. If you just got done playing the MVP with a bunch of guys that are injured, the next week, you don't know if Sanders is still going to play. Gold's still a question mark. Kittle's isn't playing. And then you see the line at 13.5. Is this one of those deals where frustration will be taken out on the other team?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of money that's come in here to lower that line. And I think the injuries for San Francisco have a lot to do with it. But do you like the money line play on the Niners?
I like the money line play on the Niners, guys. I like and if you want, you take 10 too, the minus 10.
I like
because I think one of the two is going to come in. Now, the money line's more expensive, but it's gone down from 600 to win 100 to 475, which means there's actually people out there thinking that Murray can come in and win. I just think San Francisco's too good a team. I will say this. I had San Francisco last week, and if they have all their guys, if Sanders don't go down after the first quarter when they're winning 10-0, I think they win that game. So
did change when Sanders went out, for sure.
And for everything that happened that whole game, and there was a lot of misfortune for Garoppolo and drop balls. A lot of dropped interceptions, too. But there were a lot of things that were going against San Francisco. They still had a chance to win that game.
If Robbie Gould's not hurt, they might win at the end.
They still had a chance to win that game. With all the bad things that were happening left and right to that football team, they still had a chance to win.
Right.
So, yeah, I think they're going to take their frustrations out, too.
Niners money line. I'll talk to you tonight. All right,
love you guys. Take care. there, man. Thanks.
See you, buddy. And like he said, you could do the, you know, you could do both ways. You could do Niners money line and the points. I like the points in that game. You know, short week, tough loss. But Kyler Murray in the Arizona Cardinals have just been pretty good at covering too. And granted, they've been in games where they've been a pretty prohibitive underdog. They are this week. Chad Millman made the point that you always want the best of the line. That's long gone. 13.5, are you kidding? All the way down to 10. That ship has sailed. But I do like the points. But I think San Francisco will win the game. Kyler Murray's 7-3 against the number. What are they? They're 3-6-1, right?
I believe so.
The Cardinals? Yeah. But he's 7-3 against the number. So I like the points this weekend, too. And like Mike said, his best play is going to be to lock the Niners in on the money line, so maybe you take both sides of it. Crosstalk is coming up next with Waddle and Silvio. We'll see what they've got on tap for 2-6 to get you home on this Football Friday. It's Carmen and Yurko live at Potter's Place with Truly Hard Seltzer, downtown Naperville on ESPN 1000.